Welcome to everyone here and visitors with us, and also to those online. And sermon this morning is going to be very brief. You've just had it. So thanks, Jess. We can get straight into communion afterwards. Okay. That was brilliant choice, though. So thank you very much, music group. So no children's talk. I'm going to be doing halfway through my message the youngsters reading, okay, with a different little twist to it than last time that I did that. But first of all, let's read from God's Word, from Luke chapter 12 and verse 35 through to 48. Luke 12, 35 to 48, and you'll see exactly why we just sung that last song. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them reclined at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is this faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant when the master, whom the master finds doing so, when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Well, before we come to God's word, let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity, for the freedom we still have in this country to read it, both privately and together on occasions like this. We do thank you, Lord, that on occasions like this we can speak into it and through it as your Spirit leads and guides us. And Lord, my prayer is for each and every one of us this morning, as has already been prayed, that we might hear you speaking to us clearly. Lord, that there might not be any ambiguity, any confusion, especially as I speak. And Lord, we pray that all of us might grow in our faith and in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, carrying on my series through Luke chapter 12, we come to this passage, and I've entitled it, as you can see, Responsibly Alert. Responsibly Alert. Okay, well, I'm not going to disappoint some people. So here's a little story to start us off. A couple decided to go to Cyprus for the weekend, but because they both worked, it was hard to coordinate their diaries. So they decided the husband would go for a day early and his wife would join him the following day. Probably on that basis it was a long weekend, but there we go. On arriving, the husband thought he would email his wife from his laptop, but he accidentally mistyped her email address and sent it off without realizing. Somewhere else, completely different, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He'd been a minister for many years who'd been called home to glory following a heart attack. And the widow, when she got home, she checked through her emails, expecting messages from relatives and friends, but instead found this. To my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject, I've arrived. Here's the message. I've just arrived and have checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is uneventful as mine. Well, the wrong address, and don't quite know how she took that. But coming back seriously to our passage this morning, Jesus tells us when we will least, tells us that when we least expect him to return, he's going to return. Jesus has told us he's coming back. So the question is, how are we living our lives now? Just with taking the rest of the passage, the earlier part of the passage, like the rich fool, are we eating, drinking, and being merry? Or, like others in the passage, are we worrying about what to wear and if the larder is full? So we're going to look this morning at waiting on purpose and then forgetting on purpose and the consequences. I'm a little bit to and fro because I've obviously missed one page of notes here. Not to worry. I'm going to... Oh, I know what's happened. Yeah, okay. So let me just run through here, turned over the page. Right, two scenarios and a question we have in summary form. In between there's a question, but also in connection with the rest of the passage, right there in verse 34 we have these words, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So right the way through this passage, Jesus is repeating himself, but also building on what he has already said. And so there's the question in our previous study, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And now he's sort of saying, well, actually, where is your heart in the context of my return? So there we are. That's the introduction out of the way, and hopefully I've got my notes in the right order. So the first point, waiting on purpose. Waiting on purpose. Actually, I'm going to dive into the middle point, to Peter's question. And remember that in verse 41, Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" And what Peter's question does, although it's not answered by Jesus at all, it does actually tell us that what he's telling us is applicable to everyone, both to us as individuals, maybe as disciples ourselves of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if we're just in the crowd and still on a journey of faith. It also informs us that what Jesus has just been saying, and by implication what he's about to say, that they are parables, illustrations, stories for us to be able to get a better understanding of what Jesus wants us to learn. Throughout his whole ministry, Jesus has repeatedly talked about his going back to his Father and then coming back to this earth again. Matthew, in his gospel accounts, gives us especially two whole chapters, 24 and 25, talking about his coming back again. The Apostle John, in his record, gospel record, records how Jesus is preparing his kingdom for his people. In John chapter 14, let me read these lovely verses. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Matthew and John and Luke record those sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ about his going back to his Father and his coming back again. So the subject isn't new, and as I've already said, closely connected to what Jesus has already said in this teaching period. Two parables then, both tell us of those who are waiting for their master's return with purpose and diligence, and of those who don't use the time well at all. Indeed, deliberately forgetful of their responsibility to obey their master. But first of all, waiting on purpose, those first set of servants. The first parable pictures waiting, the servants waiting for the master of the house, it looks like, to arrive home from a wedding banquet. Whereas the second parable, yes, it pictures again the servants waiting for their master's return, but this time perhaps from a business trip, we're not told. But what is clear is that the waiting seems to have gone on for a while. Like some wedding parties in other cultures today, those in the Middle East tended to go on for a few days. So in that first scenario, if the master was away for some time, it may not have been such a surprise. What about this recorded for us in Esther chapter 1? At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, they had a break. No, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace. So, waiting, hanging on. But what we see in the first parable, that everything is ready. It doesn't matter what time the master's going to return, the servants are ready with an alertness and a diligence to their duties. Their wholehearted commitment to serve their master is evident, so that no matter what time of day or night, they are immediately on hand to open the front door. Verse 38, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak." Wow. These were servants that were really on the case. And if we go back a couple of verses, in verse 35, we notice that they're not only up and about, but they're dressed as well. I'm reminded here of Paul's words to the Ephesians. In chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Being alert, being properly dressed. In this case, to help us withstand the evil wiles and schemes and temptations of the devil. In the second parable, when the master arrives, the first manager is also found doing what he's been asked to do. Verse 43, it'd be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. So in both scenarios, as far as the response for these good servants, there is no delay. They're ready and doing, even though the master hasn't sent messengers ahead to let his servants know the exact time and date of his arrival. No email, no text, or any other form of communication. When he's ready, he turns up back home, and they're ready there to open the door for him. In verse 40, Jesus gives us a summary, doesn't he? You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. And to underline this point, he gives a very simple analogy, talking about a burglary. Generally, burglars don't let you know that they're going to come knocking this day, that night, whatever it may be. It's interesting to note here that there is a reminder, it's hopeless to conjecture when Christ will return. Many have spent hours on this. Many prophetic claims have come and have gone. And it just shows these people just don't read the whole of God's word, do they? Both Matthew and Mark in their Gospels say this, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but about that hour or day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, now get this, nor the Son, Jesus talking about himself, albeit in his human nature, but only the Father. It's crazy, isn't it? If we're still struggling with what Jesus is telling us in Luke, well, here we have it, really very clear language. Don't waste our time. We will not know when Jesus is going to come again. But there are consequences for when Jesus does arrive. In the first parable, those servants that were ready to open the door to Jesus, to the master, we read of him, he says, truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but if that's something worth waiting for, isn't it? Being alert, ready to pounce on the door when Jesus comes to open it for him. He will come and serve us, waiting upon us. That's amazing, isn't it? He's not only a house builder, but he's also in the kitchen too. One of my favorite passages, I've probably told you this before, John chapter 21, that occasion after his resurrection when Jesus cooked breakfast for his disciples by the lake. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Aren't they lovely words? The King of Kings, the Creator, Sustainer God, the Almighty God says, "Come and have breakfast," to his disciples, those who love and follow him. And all of us who are seeking to follow and love the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace can look forward to that being repeated, but more gloriously so in heaven. Don't feel that you've missed out on something the disciples enjoyed. It's going to be far, far better in heaven. What a wonderful reward. But I'm also reminded of that occasion before his death when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. How he loved his disciples, that he would take on the task of a menial servant and wash their feet. But more than these, I'm reminded on that occasion when Jesus humbled himself completely as he entered this world in order to die on a Roman cross to pay the price of our sin. We read in Philippians 2, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." And this is still our Savior. This is still the one who's going to come back one day and take us to be with him forever. In the second parable, we read of the master, "Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of his possessions." And how amazing is that? We haven't got a skinflint Savior. We've got someone who even now lavishes his grace upon us, fills us with overflowing. Oh, that we're content with just scratching around in the bottom of the bottomless pit. I'm reminded this time of Joseph, as first with Potiphar, then with the jailer, and finally with Pharaoh. He's rewarded with so much. We can read about it in Genesis 39 to 41. Are there rewards in heaven apart from a well done, good and faithful servant? Are there degrees of reward? Well, that's another subject for another occasion. Otherwise, we'd be here a long time. But the Lord Jesus Christ does look after us. He will continue to provide for us. And that's all we need to know and look forward to encourage us to be ready for when he comes again, waiting on purpose. Okay, let's just have an interruption here, you youngsters. Going to reread the passage for those that haven't been here before. A slightly different version. Sorry, Malcolm, you told me I should have changed or Shell's advice. NIV is Nigel's. What's the I stand for? No, I'm thinking my, it's Nigel's something. Sorry? I don't know. Make it up yourself. Nigel's I version, all right? Who can remember? What was our subject? What did we have going on last time? You had to see what? Chocolate bars, okay. Well, I believe in a balanced diet. Okay, and so that I don't get in trouble with anyone, we're going to be looking at vegetables this morning. All right, so that could include salad vegetables as well, and I don't want any arguments whether it's a vegetable or not. It's green and whatever, so it counts. Okay, so are you ready? You're going to be listening well. What you've got to try and do is work out the number of vegetables that I'm going to include in the reading of this passage. Ready? Yeah, get your piece of paper, that's it. Good, right. We've got to be straight into it. Let us be dressed ready for service, keeping your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from Brussels sprout, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes, because he will get ready to serve them, sit them all tomato at the table, where there will be much room, and will come and wait on them. It would be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or early morning. But we must understand, if the owner of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would not have had an artichoke and let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this spinach to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, how can we know who is the faithful and wise manager who is being put in charge of the servants to give them their cabbage and onions at the proper time? It would be good for that servant who is doing his job when the master returns. I'm telling you, the master will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to pumpkin the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master will come on a day when the manager does not radish him, and at an hour he is not aware of, he will slice him like a cucumber and send him to a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master's wants will be courgetted with many blows. I thought that was quite good, actually. That was, I know. But the servant who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. Salary from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Well, as I say, two purposes. Reminds us of the story for the children. A little bit of fun with that as well. You can let me know afterwards how many vegetables I included. Waiting on purpose then. So, forgetting on purpose. Forgetting on purpose. Here's another story. The man looked a little worried when he saw his doctor for the annual checkup. So the first thing the doctor did was to ask him, was there anything troubling him? Well, to tell you the truth, Doc, yes, there is. You see, I seem to be getting forgetful. It's actually worse than that. I'm never sure I can remember where I put the car, or whether I've answered an email, or where I'm going, or what it is I'm going to do once I get there, if I get there. So I really need your help. What can I do? And the doctor thought for a moment and then answered in his kindest terms, pay me in advance. The first parable only by implication speaks of those servants who are not ready to open the door to their master whenever he arrives, day or night. In the second parable, the master's absence is enough for this servant to relax and indulge in a power play. Here's a man, along with the other servants, who's been given management responsibilities. In this case, he's looking after the household in verse 42. But did you notice again, here's another link with the rich fool, in that he plans to eat and drink, although this servant degenerates further. He's lazy and he's cruel. He beats the servants, including women, and gets drunk in verse 45. What's going on with this guy? Sadly, today, some get weary of waiting for Jesus' return, or cynical about his return because it hasn't happened yet. And this is exactly the attitude that Jesus is warning against here. On this occasion, unlike the first responses, the master returns to find his servant not doing what he should have been. And being drunk does not lend itself to being alert, does it? And the consequences for this servant are very different. In verse 46, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbeliever. He's judged. And just as with the first response, shouldn't the second, very different response here also cause us to say, hey, Lord, help me to be ready for when you come? Because I don't want to receive this judgment upon my life. It will be just, but it will be horrible. Surely we don't need any further encouragement to be alert and going about the business of being a good disciple. Jesus' return at the unexpected time is not a trap. It's not a trick by which God hopes to catch us off guard. In fact, God delaying his return is so that more people will hear the good news of salvation and turn to Christ and be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we had these words, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Why is the Lord taking his time to come? Has he forgotten? Is he resting up? Is he playing games? No. Because he so loved the world that he wants to give the full time for all to hear and have the opportunity to repent of their sin, asking him for his forgiveness and living for him. We are living in days of God's continuing grace and mercy, for which we praise him. But beware the warning of these parables. He is coming back at a time that's not on any of our calendars. And as we read elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Today, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." He is coming back, no doubt, no question. We don't know when, very true. But the whole point of Jesus' teaching here to his disciples and to the crowd is, be ready. Be my followers now, and by my Spirit's help, be living out your day-to-day life for me. No holidays, no time off, no siestas in the hot weather. We're to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ in every moment. We're to stand firm, resist temptation, obey his commands, making the most of every opportunity whilst it is day. Well, as we've seen, there are consequences. As with each section so far, Jesus summarizes for us. But in verses 47 and 48, here is a very stark reminder of the consequences of not being ready for his return. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be demanded. Very, very serious words. Can I be as lovingly bold to say that each one of us here this morning have been given much? Forget what I've said, just concentrate on what Jesus was telling his disciples and the crowds. We have been given much, and therefore Jesus is saying, from us, much will be demanded. We won't have any excuse. We won't be able to say, well, sorry, Lord, I didn't hear anything. I didn't read a book. He will say, you were in my house on Sunday, the 13th of June, 2021, where you heard me say, I'm coming back again, and you need to be ready. Get your life right with me before I come. And how important it is for us, not so much for that reason, but nonetheless that in these times that we do have, that we make sure that our friends, our neighbors, our family members hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and that he's coming back again and that they need to be saved before he does so. Because even if in one sense they have not heard, they will still be judged according to their sinful life, living without God. So, an application. I'm going to get rid of that slide. Told you the wrong order there, Josh. Never mind. An application. Before Christ's return, we have time to live out what we believe and to reflect Jesus' love as we relate to others. Just taking this whole passage of Jesus' teaching, people who are ready for Jesus' return are those who are not being hypocritical, but being sincere. Chapter 12, verse 1. They are fearful. They're not fearful, rather, but ready to witness. Chapter 12, verses 4 to 9. They're not worried, but they're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 25 and 26. They're not greedy, but they're generous, verse 34. And they're not lazy, but they're diligent, in verse 37. May our lives be increasingly more like Christ, so that when he returns, we will be ready to greet him joyfully. Let me close with these words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While the people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You're thinking about something you might say to someone after the service this morning? Can I suggest you encourage them? Ask them the question, are you awake? Are you dressed? Are you ready for the Lord? That we might be encouraged to live in the present, but also looking forward to that time when Jesus Christ will come again. Amen.